In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, once again we come into your presence to pray, and we have begun our prayer as we always do with that act of faith. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here. Jesus, you are our Lord because you are God and God himself, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, who took flesh in the womb of Mary because you loved us so much that you wanted to be with us and you wanted to save us by dying on the cross. You were born in that humble stable in Bethlehem, wrapped in swaddling cloths, and Pope Benedict XVI, in his trilogy on Jesus of Nazareth, comments that the swaddling cloths in your birth in the stable were a prefigurement of the shroud that would wrap you in the tomb. And that is why you had come, out of love for mankind, to die on the cross, to redeem us, to open up the gates of heaven. You are God and you are man, fully man, perfect God and perfect man, as we say in the Athanasian Creed, perfect man. And we all want to be a better person. Who is our model? To whom do we look to find what humanity should be but to you, perfect man? Model of all the virtues. You are the standard. Lord, help us to look to you, to deal with you, to become more like you, to learn from your humanity. And you invite us to do that. Learn from me, you say, for I am meek and humble of heart. And what do we learn from you in your humanity? First and most importantly, your love for God, your love for the Father. You had come to do the will of God. Everything was for the Father. You lived your life to do the will of God. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, when you were praying there before beginning your passion, you said, not my will, but yours be done. You wanted to do the will of the Father, and that will was that you should suffer and die for us. Or at the well with the Samaritan woman, when the apostles came and asked you if you were hungry, you said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. You always did the will of God. That is how you showed your love. And we can ask ourselves, Lord, how much do I love you? How much do I love God? And we will show that by doing your will. And you say that to the apostles in the Last Supper. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Loving God is doing his will. Yes, it is saying, Jesus, I love you, or my God, I love you. But it is more than just sweet words. It is deeds, the deeds of doing the will of God. Lord, help us to love you more and show that love by doing whatever you ask of us. and you are asking of us things throughout the day. From the moment we wake up and the alarm goes off, to get out of bed, to start the day, perhaps to do our morning offering, offering this whole day to you for your love, for your glory. And then throughout the day, when you are whispering or shouting to us, start that job, finish that job, stop and pray, spend more time with your children, with that colleague of work, go to bed on time, don't look at your mobile phone so much, whatever it might be. Lord, help us to love you by doing your will, by listening to what you are telling us and doing it. You did the will of the Father, and it cost you. You suffered on the cross to do the will of God, to show us love, love shown in sacrifice. And the greatest expression of love is sacrifice. And for us too, when we do those little acts of penance, of self-denial, we are showing you truly that we love you. To say I love you is easy. To offer up some sacrifice, that long job, looking after a sick child at night, this is sacrifice. This is the greatest expression of love. And then your love for your neighbor. Your whole life, Lord, was lived in love for us, for everyone. You were constantly giving of yourself, a man for others, they sometimes call you. You were always giving. You weren't spending time by yourself. You were with the apostles. You were with those multitudes. We see that kindness, for example, for the apostles themselves when they were tired. We open the Gospel of St. Mark to the 6th chapter. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a lonely place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. Lord, you had compassion on the apostles, but you too were tired. No leisure even to eat. Your love was shown when you had that concern for them. Let us go away to a quiet place and rest a while. And we know what happened when they arrived. St. Mark goes on, "Now many saw them going and knew them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. As he landed, he saw a great throng, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things." And Lord, first compassion for the apostles, affection for them, but now even when you wanted to rest, you didn't say, seeing the multitude, "Let's go somewhere else, this isn't a quiet place." But rather you had compassion on that great number of people. And that passage ends after you had fed the people, Mark telling us, "They all ate and were satisfied, and they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish, and those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men, men plus women and children." Lord, this is love for our neighbor. How ready to serve am I? How much compassion do I have to put myself out for others, beginning in my family? It can be neighbors, extended family members, people at work. So many people that we know that need that helping hand, that need that expression of kindness. Lord, we can show it. Help us to be more kind ourselves. We see your kindness, for example, when you are going through that town of Naim, and there is a funeral procession. They are taking the body of that young man to bury it, and the mother was a widow, and you had compassion on her, and you raised him from the dead to give him back to his mother. And I like to think that that prefigured another occasion when there was a widow whose son had died. She was alone. She was weeping. And you gave that son back to his mother. And that son was you, who had died on the cross. And that mother was Mary. You raised yourself from the dead to give yourself back to her and to the whole world. That spirit of service, we see it in the Last Supper, when you wash the feet of your disciples. We open the Gospel of St. John to the 13th chapter. You are in the Last Supper. You are celebrating the Passover for the last time, changing it into what it was always meant to be, the Eucharist. St. John relates, he rose from supper, laid aside his garments, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. And when you had finished, you said, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do as I have done to you." Wash one another's feet. Serve them. We all have occasions to serve in our families, serving the other members. Parents looking after their children, children serving their parents, husband and wife serving one another, looking after relatives who are sick or alone in hospital or a nursing home, looking after colleagues of work when they have special needs. Lord, help us to be more concerned about others, less about ourselves. When we are with someone that we haven't seen for a while, we ask them how they are. What have they done on the weekend? How is their wife or husband who we know was sick? That constant concern, this is learning from your humanity. Lord, help us to do this. Help us to have that kindness, that spirit of service. And then at the end of that passage in the Last Supper, you say, Lord, to the apostles and to all of us, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And Lord, that is that new commandment. Not that it is new that we should love others. That is there throughout the Old Testament. What is new is that we should love others as you have loved us, and you loved us to the end. St. John begins that passage of the Last Supper and your Passion in chapter 13, saying, "Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." He loved them to the end. Lord, help us to love others until it hurts, as Mother Teresa of Calcutta used to say. Not just when it is easy, but when we go out of our comfort zone, to love them until it hurts. We see your love for others in forgiving them. Forgiving sinners, that paralytic that they lowered through the roof. And you first forgave his sins, then you healed his paralysis. to show the people that indeed you had the power to forgive sins. That woman caught in the very act of adultery, a serious sin. You forgave her and told her to go away and not to sin again. But you also showed your forgiveness in that greatest way when you were on the cross and they were mocking you and taunting you. They had nailed you to the cross, having scourged you, crowned you with thorns, beaten you. And now you say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. They were torturing you, and you forgave them. How ready am I to forgive those who have hurt me? We can all ask ourselves that question. Is there anyone in my life that has hurt me in the past, or perhaps hurt my family, that I have not yet forgiven? We cannot go to our grave with that burden of lack of forgiveness on our soul. We free ourselves from that burden when we forgive. And often we can restore a harmed relationship by forgiving that other person. Lord, how much love you showed to your neighbor, for everyone. It was children. You put your arms around them. Suffer the little children to come to me. It was adults. And let us look briefly at this passage where you raise Lazarus from the dead. In John's Gospel, chapter 11. Lord, you have heard that Lazarus has died. You purposely wait several days so that it will be clear that he is dead. They have put him in the tomb. And now you come. Then Mary, when she came where Jesus was and saw him, fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. And he said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, See how he loved him. And Lord, you are human. You weep too for the death of your friend, for Martha and Mary, his sisters, who were weeping, and for all Lazarus's friends. You have compassion. You show it in a human way. Lord, help us to have that kindness, that sympathy for people who are suffering. And so you love children. You love adults. You love the Jews. And you love the non-Jews. And there's a number of passages in which you do special favors for them. That Canaanite woman, that centurion. Lord, help us to love everyone without any distinction, whether they are of our religion or some other religion, whether they are old and we are young, whether they are young and we are old, whether they are of our race or some other race. They are all children of God. Lord, how much we learn from you, how to love our neighbor. Help us to imitate you. And then other virtues. And let us look at just a few. One of the most important virtues is humility. Of it, Augustine says, of humility, St. Augustine says, if you ask me what is the most important thing in the religion and the discipline of Jesus Christ, I will answer that the first thing is humility. The second is humility. The third, humility. Because when we are emptied of ourselves through humility, we can be filled with you. We're not filled with ourselves. We're filled with love for God, and from that, love for our neighbor. And Lord, we see your first act of humility, so to speak, in your very becoming man. We open the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians to the second chapter. He writes, "Do nothing from selfishness or conceit, but in humility count others better than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross." Lord, what humility. You lower yourself from being the second person of the Blessed Trinity in all of the love, the joy, the glory of God, to take the nature of a human being. And then you lower yourself, you humble yourself more to be obedient unto death. How important humility is. Your whole life shouts at us of humility. The very circumstances of your birth, not in a castle, not in a palace, even though you were the King of Kings, but in the humble circumstances of a stable surrounded by animals, and then laid in that feeding trough of a manger. Your life began in humility. You had no place to rest, not even to lay your head. You were always on the move, always giving. When you suffered the passion, you remained silent. They were abusing you. They were taunting you, blindfolding you, striking you in the cheek. If you are God, tell us who it was that struck you, and you don't say anything. Lord, this is humility throughout your life, and you invite us, learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. And then that industriousness, that constantly working, and you say, my Father has not stopped working, and I too must be at work. And this was your life, not finding leisure to rest, except when you wanted to help the apostles to rest, but constantly giving yourself to those around you. And then another virtue, fortitude, that strength of will to overcome the reluctance of the body when things were difficult, to keep on going. We see this too throughout your life. You were often tired, and yet you kept on preaching. You were hungry, you were thirsty, and you kept on going. We see that fortitude, especially in the Passion. When they have scourged you, you have lost a lot of blood. You probably haven't had any sleep that night. You probably haven't had anything to eat. You are very thirsty. You are weakened. They load that heavy cross on your shoulders. And then you make your way to Mount Calvary. And you fall. And of course you fall. Maybe they were pushing you. Maybe you just stumbled on the cobblestones. But you fall and that heavy cross might fall on top of you and you get up again. And your will is saying, I can't do this. This is too much. I'm too weak. I can't pick up this cross and keep on going. And you do. You overcome that reluctance of the flesh. You pick up the cross and you continue. And then you fall a second time. And now it's even harder. And again you get up. And then a third time. And again you get up. You are showing us that the will is stronger than the flesh, that we don't need to give in to our comfort when we feel I can't do any more, when we know we could, if only we have the fortitude to do it. The virtue of chastity. Never was it said that you were unchaste. And even when you were there alone with that Samaritan woman at the well, you were talking with her in order to convert her, to show her that the man with whom she was living now was not her husband. And then through that, she converts the whole town. She brings people from the town to see you, and they too are converted. There was no suggestion of anything improper. Lord, help us, because we struggle to live this virtue. It is not an easy one, but let us learn from you again to live chastity. And let us learn to live cheerfulness, that joy. You are a happy person. People would not have flocked to hear you if you were not a pleasant person. And you said to the apostles in the Last Supper, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." You are a happy person, and why wouldn't you be? Who is going to be happy in life but someone who has found a great good? And Lord, you are the Son of God. You are in the company of the Father and the Holy Spirit in the Trinity. You are God, and God is the happiest person. And you want us to be happy too. And we will be happy when we find a good. And we will find that, as you have just said, when we love God, when we are close to God, when we are people in love, just as human beings who love one another are happy. And we want to love you more so that we too may be happy, that your joy may be in us and our joy may be full. Lord, how much we learn from your humanity. You are perfect man. You are the model. Help us to look to you. When I was chaplain of a university, my Protestant colleague, a very fine Protestant chaplain, had a t-shirt on which he had the letters WWJD. And in my ignorance at the time, I asked him what that stood for. And he said, "What would Jesus do?" A very good motto for our life. What would Jesus do in my circumstances? But Lord, first we need to get to know you. And how will we do that? First, by reading the scriptures. The scriptures are your love letters to mankind, and especially in the four gospels, we see how you lived, how you taught, and we see your humanity in its fullness, and we get to know you. We see the things that we have just meditated on. We learn these virtues and so many more. Spend a little bit of time each day reading the Gospels, perhaps a few minutes or a chapter of the Gospel. But Lord, help us to find that time so that we get to know you better. We can read the lives of Christ, and there is a good number of them, the classics of antiquity and more modern ones. To read a book like that, it's a very good help in coming to know you better. And then, of course, in our prayer, to take these readings to our prayer and simply to talk with you, to meditate on your life. And again, if we are meditating on a particular aspect, we will see in our prayer how we can live this virtue better. And above all, to love you, because the most important virtue is love. We began our prayer considering how much you love the Father and how much you love your neighbor. These are the most important virtues, love for God and love for neighbor. The more we grow in love, the more we will be like you. And then we will be firmly on the way to growing in holiness and on the way to heaven. Lord, help us to learn from you. And we finish our prayer going to Our Lady. And Mary, you are the model of the virtues too. You taught Jesus to grow in those virtues in his humanity. Help me to learn from Jesus how to love, how to live all the virtues, so that I can be that better person that I want to be, that saint. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.